where did this idea of the tiny house really originate as a standout architectural trend?
Well, obviously people around the world live in tiny houses and have lived in tiny houses. In fact, the very big house is relatively recent. But the specific tiny house, as you see in the tiny house movement, originated in the late 1990s in the United States, in the Pacific Northwest. And it was mostly in response to high land prices, minimum house sizes, and as you mentioned, the idea to live a bit more simply and to have a more sustainable type of life.
So what is the general appeal? How are these ones sort of sold to us at the very least?
It was a very minor social movement, probably until after the GFC in around 2009-2010. But with the increased popularity of social media like Facebook and Instagram, tiny houses have just, well, the idea of tiny houses, the popularity of tiny houses has just taken off exponentially. It's more popular on social media than it is in real life, though.
Well, in terms of the kinds of demographics we might see most interested, is it sort of restricted to certain demographics? I mean, a family, if you're looking to move in a family of four or more, I imagine it might be a little bit more difficult.
Yes, my children are grown up, but I couldn't imagine living in a tiny house with two teenagers, for example. It's actually quite interesting because the latest survey, which I've done two, but the latest one was done by the Australian Tiny House Association, and they found on that survey that interest in tiny houses is there's a lot of younger people interested, but there's also a lot of people aged over 50 who are interested in tiny houses, and a lot of women. But that could be an artifact of survey research, because women tend to fill in surveys more than men do. but when it comes to the people who live in tiny houses, it's pretty much average across the board. Most, you know, there's about a third people from 20 to 30, you know, 30 to 45 and 45 to 55, and not that many very old people live in tiny houses. That's interesting, yes.
Given local councils usually oversee urban developments, are there certain barriers we should be aware of to owning a tiny home?
Yes. No, so please forgive me. I'm more of a I'm a Queensland-based researcher, so I know the planning better in Queensland than I do in New South Wales. But tiny houses on wheel, if you want a tiny house on foundation and you own the property, it's probably, to be honest, from my perspective, in terms of housing value and home loans, it's better just to build a small house because it's cheaper than a tiny house. If you don't own property and you want a tiny house on wheels, just about every single council considers these a caravan or a temporary dwelling. And they are then, at least in Queensland, they're not regulated by the planning schemes, they're regulated by local laws. And the vast majority of local governments have restrictions on how long you can live in a caravan on property you don't own, or even on property you do own, and that's for reasons of health and safety, amenity, etc. So it's not based on sort of, you know, them being mean or anything. It's, you know, they don't necessarily want lots and lots of people living in caravans all over the place, because they're not necessarily built to the same safety standards as a standard house.
So where do you see the future of this movement in Australia? I mean, will it remain something of a novelty that gets discussed from time to time, or will we see a real switch towards these ones, given, as we kind of mentioned before, the real barriers we see for some people in home ownership?
I don't think it's ever going to be. You mentioned demographics earlier, and of course, you know, I can't possibly see how anyone would want to live in a tiny house. You know, your sort of standard family with teenagers, for example. But in terms of if they can become regulated in some way, and I want to do a proviso there, is that there are quite a lot of people in the tiny house movement who don't want regulation. But I personally, and a lot of people, planners and tiny house builders, if because they are constructed pretty well, if they were, if the building code was adapted in some way that tiny houses could be a subsection of the building code, which means they actually built to proper standards of health and safety, which a lot are, but you know there may very well be ones that aren't, then local governments would be much more likely to say, yes, we're happy to approve this on the condition, of course, that you don't dispose your grey water, you know, in a way that's bad for the environment or stuff like that. But, of course, I don't think it's ever going to become much more than a niche market, because it really doesn't, you know, it is suitable maybe for young people just starting out or single people. And there's a lot of interest in single women over 55, particularly who've maybe rented all their lives, who've lost a house due to relationship breakup, or have just have generally lower levels of superannuation. And then as an older woman, say for example, and I mean I'm not, you know, saying just older women, but you know that is a particular group who's interested in tiny houses. Say, for example, if you have a tiny house and you could rent someone's driveway or backyard to put your tiny house, then you have your own home. So it's unlike the rental market where you maybe have to move every 6 to 12 months, or the market goes bad and the owner of your rental decides that they want to sell it, for example. And then all of a sudden you're stuck without anywhere to live, and it's very hard to get back into the rental market, particularly if you're on a pension or something, because it's very expensive, as I'm sure you know.
Well, do appreciate it. Like I said, it's an intriguing one. It's an intriguing one, this one. So I do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
No, that's fascinating. And thank you very much. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. I'm very passionate about it.
That's an absolute pleasure.